chapter 4 tonight. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. In this particular verse, verse number four, it points out a very important truth about the giving of the Word of God and salvation of souls and the understanding of it. The Bible tells us that the God of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says that when he was as a babe, his parents sang to him Christian songs. And as he was growing up, he heard the gospel probably hundreds of times. But it wasn't until that day that he went into that Moravian chapel, that he understood it for the first time. He said, although I heard the gospel over and over and over and over, he said, I was blinded to its truth. The Bible is telling us that Satan blinds the minds of them which believe not. The Apostle Paul said, pray for me that the Word of God may have free course. We find that we are in a great spiritual battle. Someone has said, there is probably no one that has ever been saved that someone didn't pray for them. And we see a reason or the perspective of why prayer is important in the salvation of souls. Because around the every soul, there is a spiritual battle. There is a battle, and Satan has hold on the souls of men. You know, the Bible tells us that when a person is saved, they're translated from the kingdom of darkness, that means from the rule of Satan, to the kingdom of light, that means the rule of God. The Bible tells us that before a person is saved, they were the children of Belial, or the children of Satan. They're in his realm. They're in his under his birth. They have been blinded by Satan. It's not a matter of just handing a person, the verse of Scripture, and they will understand what it says. It's not a matter of giving someone the gospel and they will understand the message of the gospel. There's something far beyond that. There's a spiritual war over the souls of men. And that war certainly is against Satan and his powers and his strongholds and his influence. And the Bible tells us that his influence is widespread over this world. Now, as we consider that, let's turn back to Mark chapter 9. Here we have a man that is obviously under the control of Satan. Now, Matthew tells us there were two men. Mark tells us about one of them. But, excuse me, Mark chapter 5. I think that's where I'm supposed to be. No, I'm sorry. I'm mixing things up. Mark chapter 9, verse 19. And verse through 24, this young man had the demon, and the father brought him to the Lord, brought him to the disciples. They could not cast him out. And verse 25, we find that Jesus cast out the demon. And verse 29, the disciples said, "Why could not we cast him out?" Now we find a very obvious picture of different levels of spiritual power. The disciples did not have enough spiritual power in this battle against Satan. And the Lord obviously had the power to cast this demon out. And he gives the answer. They said, "Why couldn't we do it?" It said, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." We find a obviously the secret in this spiritual warfare. Now, prayer and fasting is a lot different than praying at prayer meeting. Praying at prayer meeting is a lot different than praying for your meal at home. I mean, there's different levels and urgencies of prayer. There's different levels of prayer. Now, if you think about this, we're talking about the eternal destiny of a soul. We're talking about snatching a soul out of the hands of Satan and bringing them into spiritual understanding so they can understand the gospel. Satan has to be defeated. His power has to be broken. Because it's a spiritual battle. And God is telling us that the key to the defeat of Satan and his power and his ministry is a spiritual warfare. And one of the key aspects of that spiritual warfare is prayer. Now, they say George Mueller, at one point in his life, had a list of five men that he prayed to get saved. It says that he prayed every day for these five men. He prayed earnestly for these five men. He put a great deal of prayer, a constant prayer, into these five men. One of them was saved in, I think, a couple months. Then he put all his energies to the four. Well, I think the next one was saved in a couple years. The fifth one he prayed for 68 years. Every day. Prayed for him for 68 years. Prayed for him every single day. And when he died, he was not saved. But at his funeral, he came to Christ. He understood that the battle for souls is really a spiritual battle. And that battle is a warfare that the people of God must wage. Now, I think we know that we live in a day in which I really don't know the real answer to this proposition. But we live in a day in which emotional manipulation has replaced the power of prayer. I heard about a church, one of the great churches in America. In their service, they have an electronic service. When the music is playing, even if they're singing a hymn, they have different lights flashing to create the mood, you know? And different lights flashing, and you got this great feeling, you know, they have the first half of the whole service is, you know, music and lights and all the stuff, creating a mood. I just don't know. I just wonder what's going on. Now, this is a good church. But, you know, I really believe that that a lot of people who profess to be saved really aren't saved. Because they've been saved by manipulation and by emotion. No repentance. And when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, when it comes to really following the Lord, it's not going to be there. But, you know, and I just say that, I've got to say one other thing with that. Old-time evangelist John R. Rice, I was in a church one time where he was preaching, and he given the invitation. And, you know, people had their heads bowed, and he was, you know, urging them to come to Christ, and the organist was playing real soft, you know. And he said, "Stop that organ right now." He wasn't going to have any mood being played or manipulated by the organ. He wanted results that were from the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, what I'm saying is that there's a couple things I'm saying. One is, if we're going to follow the Bible, then we have to have God's results. If we're going to have God's results, they're going to have to be spiritual results. And spiritual results do not come except by prayer. Now, there's kind of a challenge here. We don't have a lot of time. But a couple of challenges. One is, how many of us tonight can pray? How many of us can pray? How many of us tonight are on praying ground? How many are really right with God and can really pray? That's kind of coupled with how many really believe in prayer? How many of us really believe in prayer? Sometimes one Wednesday night, I don't know what we were looking for, but it happened to be the video camera of the church entrance. And I was shocked by all the people that left before prayer. I was shocked by the people who left before prayer. It gives a very big picture. The other aspect is, and the Lord really convicted me about this, is that there is a real positive work that must be done that needs to occupy our mind and occupy our life and be foremost in our soul, and that is the recognition that the spiritual battle we are in is only going to be won by one thing. And that is prayer. The spiritual battle is going to be won by prayer. Now, this passage reminds us that in the battle we are in, sometimes the situation requires a great amount of prayer. A great amount of prayer in a great sense of earnestness and spiritual depth. And I wonder how many of us are really aware or willing to do what it takes to see people come to Christ. I think there's a lot of things we could say about that, but that's the thing that we need to really think about tonight. Is do we recognize that the spiritual battle is won by prayer? Do we realize that the spiritual battle, the key to winning it is prayer? And that the degree of victory is going to be directly related to our prayer life. The next 35 years is right ahead of us. You know, I'll stop with this illustration. When McGonigal Baptist Church was started, We had a good group of prayer warriors. I remember Dottie Smith back there in California and her friend Mrs. Saunders, oh, they were really prayer warriors. I think of Pastor and Mrs. Rhodes, they were great prayer warriors. And a lot of people at Manor Baptist Church, great prayer warriors. And in the early days, there were a lot of great miracles. One of the things I remember was that some of those brand new Christians said, man, I've only been saved 3 years, and I don't understand why these Christians who've been saved for 20, 30 years, how come they don't get it? You know, they didn't use those words, you know. And they're just wondering why they had made so much spiritual progress. Well, on our fifth anniversary, we had dedicated this building. We were 5 years into a 15-year land contract to buy the property. And I said, you know, other churches need to be started. And that support that we got in from churches and people, I wrote to all those people. I said, you know, I think it's time for our church to be on its own feet. These churches were supporting us 50% of our support. It's time for you to, you know, find somebody else to support and start a church. And thank you so much. And you know, that prayer stopped with the support. And immediately after that, almost immediately, immorality came into the church. And our church began to go downhill just like that. And it just keeps spinning down and down. And people who used to stand on, going forward spiritually, all of a sudden were going backwards really fast. Looking back, I know exactly what happened. Those miracles were because people were praying. Hundreds of people were praying across America. Of course, I think of Mrs. Ola, the Ola's telling me about Jim Kinesa approaching them in Hungary, coming to them 5 hours away from Pache and saying, hey, I want you to come to Pache and help us start a church, and I want you, Yoli, to be the translator. And Yoli barely knew English. She had only been in the States about a year, and she only knew a little bit of English. And I remember what Jim Kinesa said to her, don't worry. There are thousands of people praying for you. Thousands of people praying for you. And so they went down to Pache and helped them start the church. And through the Olas, literally, they were the key to Hungarians coming to Christ. But about the 10th anniversary, Pastor Bela was ordained and he became the pastor at Pache. And Pastor Jim moved on to different ground. And Pastor Jim and his munchies went to different ground. And the church at Pache had already had some problems, but the church at Pache went whoosh. And today it's fighting for its existence. What happened? Thousands of people praying for the church at Pache stopped praying for the church at Pache because now they had a pastor Now Pastor Jim was going to Budapest. All the focus was on Budapest. And what happened? The church at Page was on its own feet. And they couldn't survive. Now I go to Budapest. Think about starting a church by passing out tracts on the street. Not knocking on doors, not going house to house, but going in the street and passing out tracts. And you know, big cities like Budapest, many people go there to escape life, not to function. And I go to Budapest, and every time I go, I am overwhelmed by here are people who are the most unlikely candidates to be saved and to be stable enough to start a church. Most unlikely candidates that you'd ever consider. And people are getting saved. And know why? There's thousands of people praying. You know, Mukwonago Baptist Church doesn't have thousands of people praying for it. We have the duty to be praying for our missionaries. They need our prayer. But you know, this church can only go forward by the people that are here praying for it. I wonder what kind of commitment do we have. I wonder what kind of understanding we have. I would say that personally, I think we've lost it. I think that, we probably have fewer men coming out for men's prayer than ever before. And I think it tells us that we don't really realize that the backbone and the power of a church is prayer. That's the spiritual power. No one is going to get saved. And people who are backsliding and getting away from God, you know what? They aren't going to get back to the Lord by you going and reasoning with them. God's got to do something. And only God can do it. And the greatest resource we have, and the only resource we have, is prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for us being challenged, each of us, tonight. And Lord, I know I didn't do a very good job presenting this truth, but Lord, it is the truth. Lord, without the power of the Spirit of God and the power that comes by prayer, there's only one thing that's ahead. That's backwardness, backsliding, getting away from God. And Lord, we need just as many miracles in the next 35 years as we had when we started. And Lord, we need to be grown up enough now, especially myself and us men, to realize that it is our job to be men of prayer. And that, Lord, the many just insurmountable situations we have right here in this ministry, that they are not going to be overcome except by a God who answers prayer. And so, Lord, we pray for your help in the business of life for us to get back or get to that comprehension of what we really need is only what only you can do, as Satan is a foe who has blinded the minds of those who are lost, who opposes the work of God in every way he can. And he can be overcome. And Lord, help us to be the people who take the resources that you have given through the Lord Jesus, especially prayer, to overcome this obstacle and this enemy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.